I'd like to say I appreciate some of the boys that met me outside and their attitude toward the gospel and toward our warnings of the judgments of God. We had a number of the boys to meet us outside, and one or two of them was telling us that they did not want to come against the things of God, that they did not want to fall into the judgments of God, and that they didn't want to give us any trouble in that way whatsoever. And I really appreciate that, because I've got a job to do. The Lord sent me to do it. The authorities here have a job to do. The Lord has sent them to do it. And we cannot stop. We cannot relinquish in our job. We must do it. You know, it's like the police. A lot of young fellows run into trouble with the police. It isn't because the right, you know, if it's the right kind of law, it isn't because they want to put you in jail that they put you in jail, but it's because you break the law, and they have to do their duty. They're duty bound. That's their job. That's what they're paid for. That's what the people put them there for. If they don't do it, the people will put somebody else there. If a judge does not punish somebody that is evil, then he's guilty of the crime himself. And he may be guilty of some innocent person being killed. So it is with us. We have an authority from God, and we must do what we're commissioned to do. Therefore, we are not here to hurt you, nor to terrorize you. We are here to help you, to love you, to strengthen you, to show you the right way, and to do good to you. The Bible uses the term, seeing that he is the minister of God, will ye not be afraid, knowing that he is set there to execute judgment and wrath upon them that do evil? Won't you heed what he tells you? Won't you do what he commands you? Won't you do the things that the minister asks you to do? Won't you have reverence and respect to his authority? You know, when you meet a minister, he's just another man. You meet a deacon, he's just another man. You meet an authority that's ordained of the brotherhood, he's just another man. But if you meet the sheriff and the judge, he's just another man. But you know, and I know, that if you sit in a courtroom and that judge is sitting on the judgment seat, whether you think he's just another man or not, he has an authority that within one split second, he can have you in more trouble than you can get out of in many years. All you got to do is just do the wrong thing, and he can have you in so much trouble that you won't be able to get out of it for many years. Because even though he's just a man like you are a man, you, in looking at him like that, have evaluated wrong. That's improper evaluation. You have to look at him not as him being a man like you are a man, but rather you have to consider the fact that he is an authority raised up by the people and by the law and by the government. And it's the same way with God. If that is only a typical thing, and yet it holds such great strength, how much more should we reverence the Father of spirits, who has the power to turn us into the lake of fire? The power of God in a minister's life that has the power within that life to curse you or to bless you. How much more will ye not be afraid, seeing that he is the minister of God, and he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil? Whereas if you do that is good, you have no reason to be afraid. Because if I honor the law and obey the law is for my benefit. If I honor the law and obey the law, then if somebody terrorizes the neighborhood or somebody encroaches upon my rights or tries to steal my belongings or tries to molest my family, all I've got to do is pick up the phone, contact the law, and they'll come running to help me because they're my benefit in life. But I must honor them to have the benefit of the law. So it is with God. You must honor God. You must do what the Lord tells you if you're to have the benefits of Christ Jesus. If you're to have God on your side, then you must do exactly what God has told you to do. If you do not honor God and God's authorities, then you are in trouble, because it is God. It is God's ordination in the earth. Therefore, as an individual, the minister is no more than another man. Has just people an authority that the brethren is ordained in the church is no more than another man or a woman. But as the ordination of God, it's a different situation altogether. They are an authority and should be honored so, reverenced and respected as such, because all of heaven stands behind them in that they are called by Christ ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador sent by the United States into a foreign country, I don't know how it is in the day we're living. We've got such flimsy government, but in years gone by, if an ambassador was sent from here into a foreign country, if he was injured, if he was hurt, war would immediately break out, because that ambassador, they'd stand behind him, and a war would come about from just hurting or taking his life. And the same way with God. An authority sent from God, as it was said of John, a man sent from God, how much more the sons of God. If you mistreat, if you do not listen, if you do not heed, if you do not pay attention, how much more the wrath of God revealed from heaven against them that dishonor his son. If the wrath of God is upon them that abuse the servants, as he refers to them in the Old Testament, in the prophets, and such lie, if the wrath of God be upon the people as it was, so that the earth literally opened up and swallowed them up, how much more upon them that refuses his own son? Well, as he said, I send my son, surely they'll listen to him. And today the very Son of God is in the earth. The sons of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, are speaking, and yet not them but God. And if the world doesn't reverence that, then the whole world will be destroyed and the Lord will turn the whole thing into chaos. But I appreciate the fact that they come and talk with me, because they repented and they said they didn't want to do it. That something warred from within here against me. Whereas I know that, I understand that, because you're born in sin, and I know that I constantly war with you up here. You're warring with me. I'm set here for the defense of the gospel, and yet I'm not warring with your flesh, but against evil spirits. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, evil powers, demons and devils in high places. I wrestle against them in your mind and in your spirit every time I come in here. I wrestle against them in my own home, among my own friends. Here in the household of God, many times I wrestle against them, because your flesh is weak toward them, in that you do not spend enough time in prayer, seeking the Lord enough, breaking your spirit enough, breaking your attitude toward surrender to God's will. But you can break that down, if you will. You can eradicate those thoughts of accusation, those thoughts of fault finding, those thoughts of lust, those thoughts of jealousy and covetousness and resentment, haughtiness and pride and selfishness, thoughts of gluttony, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts that caused you to sit in the seat of the scornful, to find fault with God and his people, to stand in the way of sinners. Vain imagination, you can conquer it. The Bible said casting all of that down, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can do it. By the Spirit of God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And we should be doing it every day. We should be doing it. We should be asking God to help us because the judgments are not far away. So then I say these things to you that I might be able to help you. I want to say again, I appreciate those boys that come to humble their hearts. The Lord will have mercy on them and the Lord will help them. It's like I've said so many times to the young fellas, the young girls, if you do not want to serve God, that is your business. Whereas I think it's foolish that you don't serve the Lord. I think it's foolish that anybody don't serve God. But if you don't want to, that's your business. But use enough reasoning to remember that down the road you may want to serve God. And if you do the wrong things and say the wrong things at this point of your life, you may cut across the Spirit, and down the road when you want to serve God, you will not be able to come to God because God will not receive you. Therefore, don't be foolish and eternally damn your soul so that when you do want to serve God, you cannot get to Him. Have respect for God's people in God's house. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. If you want to read with me, you can read 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, first verse. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. But I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letter, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolish, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequent. In deaths, all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, and thirst in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever more, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'd like to comment just a little bit on the 10th chapter. I read the 10th and 11th and a little bit of the 12th. But I'd like to comment just a little bit here. If you notice, there is perhaps no other man that taught the way that Paul the Apostle taught. He had such a different manner of ministry that it was seemingly altogether different from Peter and James and the others. He seemed to be so different. He uses the terms here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. He says that we do have a weapon. It's a weapon of warfare. And he said it is a mighty weapon. He said, but we do not war with this weapon after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, that is, though I as an inner being, though I be a being from heaven, though I be a man of God, though I be a son of God, though I belong to another world, and though I don't live in this world, so far as my inner being is concerned, Paul tells us, yet I do walk in this body. I do walk in this body, even as you put on a garment and you walk in that garment. I walk in this body, though I'm not of this world. I didn't come from this world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. I didn't come from this world. I don't belong to this world. You say, but Brother Pike, that was God. But see, he didn't just say that concerning himself. He said, ye are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Therefore, I am not of this world. I never came from this world. I belong to another world. I am living in another world. I am only walking in this body of humanity. Therefore, I am trying to communicate with those that belong to this world, those that are in this world. I am trying to tell them by communication through the medium of this body that there is wrath ahead, there is sorrow ahead. There is heartaches ahead. There's woes ahead. And I'm trying to get those that are in this world to escape those things by listening to the voice of God, being born again, come out of those things. Now, notice that Paul uses the terms, I've got a weapon. The weapon of my warfare. It's a mighty weapon. A mighty weapon. Even to the casting down of strongholds. My weapon, this great weapon that I have, is so mighty. even to the casting down of strongholds. What kind of strongholds am I talking about? I'm talking about spiritual strongholds. I'm talking about powers that Satan has set up. Forces that are in great high places. Paul tells me that I've got a great weapon that I can use to overthrow these great strongholds that Satan has set up. Then he said it's even to the casting down of imagination. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus the Christ every thought. Oh, brother, sister, tonight or this evening, if you could but get a hold of what I'm trying to say to you, if you could see the magnificence of being a son of God, a daughter of God, if you could but understand what it means to be an eternal creature, to be of another world, and to belong to another age, another great dimension. If you could only understand and see how great, how mighty, how wonderful it is. If you could only see that, if you could only understand that, how thrilled your hearts would be this evening. I'm so glad that God has showed me this great weapon of warfare that I have. Because by this great weapon of warfare, I can cast down imagination. I can cast down imagination. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, I can cast it down. I don't have to give in to the evil, conniving, ugly, abase thoughts that are gendered in the human mind, that are placed there by the satanic forces through the powers of the stronghold of Satan. I don't have to live in the filth that the world gives themselves to. I don't have to be brought down to the abase side of life and be under the control of that old beast's mind, that old beast's pressure, and all of those things that the world has given themselves to. I don't have to be under the control of those things. Why is it that I don't have to be under the control of those things? For the simple reason that I have a weapon. It's a weapon of warfare. But there's one thing about it, folks. God has given you a great spiritual weapon that can break down the strongholds of Satan. I have a spiritual weapon. I cherish this great weapon that God has placed in my hands. A man that goes out to battle, he cherishes his weapon. He must do it. When I was in the armed forces, we took the weapon that was given to us. We polished it. We kept it in tip-top shape. It had to be in working order at all times because we did not know when we would have to use it, when our lives might depend upon it. We were taught that, to constantly keep it in good shape. God has given you a weapon, something to fight the devil with. A great weapon. It's mighty. It's mighty, Paul says, through the casting down of strongholds. What is the strongholds? What is the strongholds? Imagination. imagination. No man in the Bible dealt with things like this but Paul. Why did Paul deal with things like this? Because Paul realized that Satan's stronghold was in the imagination of man. That the fall in the garden was the cause of it. He was the man that had received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He knew where the thing stemmed from. He knew it was the carnal mind. He preached that men should not faint in their minds, that the fainting was in their minds. He preached that all that God was doing had to do with man's thinking. Therefore, this great weapon, Paul said, that we have, it is for the casting down of the strongholds of Satan, the casting down of imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself. Now I want you to listen to this real close. He said it's for the purpose of casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What does the preacher do when he comes to the church? He tries to tell you about the Word of God. He is for the reason to make you to understand God's knowledge in the earth. Isn't that right? Spiritually speaking, the minister is placed in your midst to indoctrinate you with the mind of God. What is the mind of God? That great weapon that Paul speaks of. It's that great weapon, the mind of Christ. I have a great weapon of warfare. It is a mighty weapon. What kind of weapon is it? It is mighty through the casting down of strongholds, breaking them down, and the casting down of imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What's wrong with the president tonight? He doesn't know what to do. You know why he doesn't know what to do? Because man lives in his imagination. All he can do is go by what his brain tells him. Like a computer, he's continually listening to that which is imagined within his head, his imagination. Constantly he follows that. What is the problem with Iran? The same thing with Khomeini. Khomeini, with all of his vain imagination, following his feelings, his thoughts. Why is that? Because it is a stronghold of Satan. It is a stronghold. But there is a mind of Christ, which is a mighty weapon. Oh, that mighty weapon of warfare. I can take the Word of God, the spiritual mind of Christ, and I can take that Word, and I can cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of my great weapon. My great weapon. Satan cannot stand against my weapon. For the Bible said God sent his word, and by his word he conquered Satan. By his word he cast out the unclean spirits. By his word, he created the heavens and earth. By the wonderful word of God. God sending his word. He made it flesh. It took on the form of humanity. And he stood in the midst of the people. Who stood in the midst of the people? The Word. Who is the Word? God. Who is God? God is a spirit. What kind of spirit? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ veiled in humanity. God. The Word, the spiritual life. For he said, my words are spirit and they are life. They veil themselves in humanity. And he stood there in their midst to let them know that they had a chance to have eternal life. Saying, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he is passed from death unto life, and shall not come into condemnation. That's why Paul was so different. He was so different. For as the great Spirit of God, the revelation of Christ, was revealed within him, he said, it hath pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his Son within me. To reveal his Son within me. In what way? Bringing forth his Son, the mind of Christ. Bringing forth the mind of Christ. How many of you understand what I'm saying? How have you understood the things I've said tonight? How have you seen Satan constantly work here tonight? Have you done it? Why is that? Because Satan is using the carnal mind. Doesn't matter who it is. As long as he can take somebody that will think naturally, Satan will use them to interrupt the program of the living God. Always it's that way. Where is our respect? Where is our reverence? Where is our drive? Where is our concern about God's house and God's minister and God's word? Casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. See, no man ever preached like Paul preached. How could they? They were not sent to the Gentiles as Paul was sent to preach. Not even Peter. Though Peter did great things, he did not preach as Paul. He did not understand as Paul. Though Peter raised the dead, he walked on the water. But there's no testimony in Peter's life where he was caught up to the third heaven. There is no testimony in Peter's life where he understood the way that Paul understood. There was a difference. We have a weapon of warfare. We have something. Brother, sister, the trouble with a little Bethlehem today is that you are not using your weapon of warfare. You need to get rid of your carnal thinking, your carnal ambition, your carnal reasoning. You need to kill out your carnal thinking and get your thoughts on Jesus and get your desires on Jesus and get your eyes on Jesus and get you an ambition for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is Paul talking about men's thoughts? Why don't you know in years gone by, preachers, as a rule, have not preached about men's thoughts. A lot of places they don't even say anything about men's deeds, let alone men's thoughts. But see, it is the hour of perfectness. It is the hour of perfection. We're moving from Egypt to Canaan by the way of the wilderness. We're moving from the flesh, going into the spirit, by the way of the soul. The constant interference in the church. I can't make you to see that that is Satan. That is the flesh. That is the carnal mind. That the powers of evil. And the constant interference that we have on the campground out of the men. out of the women, out of the boys, and out of the girls. It's Satan's strongholds. But brother, sister, we have a weapon of warfare. The interference that we have with the people, whether it be the law, whether it be the community, whether it be those people that are around us, whether it be churches or whatever it would be, we got a weapon of warfare. We do not war after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, yet we are not in the flesh. We are in the spirit. We do not war against flesh and blood. We war against spiritual wickedness in high places, which means spiritual elevated places, higher, greater dimensions. Why do we talk about the thoughts? Why did he use the terms, do not faint in your mind? Where did Eve get in trouble? Paul brings it out right here. Oh, brethren, he said, I'm jealous over you. I'm jealous over you. I'm jealous for Christ's sake. What is the jealousy? I am jealous over you. Jealous in what way? I am jealous over you for Christ's sake. I am jealous over you for Christ's sake. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Why? Because I want to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish or any such thing. I want to help you. Paul said, I fear lest Satan has beguiled you, taking you away from the simplicity of the gospel, having beguiled you through your minds, as he did Eve. Where was the problem? He beguiled Eve. He beguiled her. I know that they say the word beguile means defiled. I've heard that taught, and it means such and such, and they get their mind in the gutters. I know that. But Paul makes it plain what God was speaking of. Said he beguiled her in her mind. That's where she sinned. Brother, let me tell you something. A woman does not have to go out here and commit whoredom, commit adultery, to be a whore. All she's got to do is leave her husband in her mind, leave her virtues in her mind, give herself to some other man in her thoughts, and she's a whore. A man does not have to go out here and be a whoremonger by defiling himself with a woman out of wedlock. All he's got to do is think in his mind concerning that woman. And the Bible said, if you look on that woman to lust after, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And the Bible said, the adulterer shall be turned into hell. Outside of that city is the adulterer. Jesus was the only one that ever preached like that. That's why it said that it pleased God to reveal that same Christ that was in the body of Jesus. It pleased God to reveal that same Christ in Paul, because Paul taught the thoughts. He taught the mind. He taught the spirit. That's what Jesus taught. They were worried about the committing of the acts of adultery and all of these things. Jesus said, long before you ever get to that place, you become wretched and you become defiled and you become useless in the kingdom of God. Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something tonight. We as individuals are going to stand before an angry God, and many religious people are going to stand there the day of judgment with the thoughts of condemnation toward others because of what they did, when they're going to be more wretched because of their thinking, their conniving, and their spirits of filth and lust than those people that have committed the wrong. There has been at times girls and boys caught in the act of adultery and overtaken in the wrong thing, as it was with the woman when Jesus caught her in the very act of adultery. When they were ready to stone her to death, there's been people that's been caught like that, that really had an integrity. But the devil took advantage of them, beguiled them to the simplicity of their minds, as was the case of Eve. But in their hearts, they were so godly sorry. They felt so wretched, and wretched they were. Anybody, any man, any woman, whether they do it through error, ever how they do it, it doesn't make any difference. They are wretched. When you commit adultery, when you commit whoredom, it don't matter if you stumble into it or whatever, you are wretched. But nevertheless, Jesus forgave her because he saw the integrity of her heart when she said, "My God," when she pleaded from inside of her heart, and God forgave her. But beloved friend, there's many religious people today in the churches, and they're just as wretched as they can be, lusting after one another continually. That's committing adultery over and over. Jesus spoke of an age when people would be adulterers. He said an adulterous, sinful generation. He said there would be such an age that would be seeking signs and wonders. If we've ever had an age like that, it's certainly been the age that we're living in. Everybody wanting to be a sign and wonder preacher. It don't make any difference how they do it, as long as they pay them to hop off of the couches or whatever. As long as they can get them worked up with an organ and make it look good, that's all they care about. As long as they can get a title of whatever it might be, like some of them on TV I heard about the other day, with eyes painted up like a lizard and dresses bobbed off above the knees and form-fitting clothes, and talking about telling people the thoughts of their hearts and discernments and all the gifts. A wicked generation. People dressing to where it draws each other's attention. They're dressing in their bodily appearance to where it is drawing men and women's attention one to another, to lust after one another. The billboards are filled with evil. The magazines are filled with evil. Radios are filled with evil. Everything, everywhere, are filled with evil. High spice food, everything. Wild, crazy merit and music. All of the gaieties of the world to spice men in such a way to work him and woman into a state to where devils and demons can work in their body like maggots working in the dead dog. And you know why they're doing that? Because people have died in the sight of God, and they have rotten in the sight of God, and the devils and demons, the skin worms, have entered into them to cause a stink that's coming up in the nostrils of God. And God is about to destroy and burn the entire thing. Oh, you say, "Brother Pike, you always get beside yourself. You always do that." I don't see how anybody can live in this world and not get beside themselves when they think about the evil of this life. So then Paul preached different. Jesus preached different. Why, Lord, nobody ever talked about things like this. Why, they said if a woman did evil, a man did evil, we'll just stone him to death. If a boy was rebellious against his parents and he wouldn't honor the parents, we'll just stone him to death. But Lord, this thing that you're talking about, that you're talking about, a person just thinking wrong. Why, you said if you just think wrong. Jesus said, "Let the wicked forsake their ways." When you do wrong, you're wicked. When you do wrong, you are wicked. But the Bible said, "Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts." Brother, when you think wrong, you're unrighteous. You're unrighteous even when you think wrong. And if you go far enough to do what you're thinking, then you're wicked in the sight of God. And the Bible said the wicked shall not live their days half out. When you think wrong, you're already on dangerous ground because you're unrighteous. Therefore, Paul tells us that we've got a great weapon. A great weapon. I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding. By my thoughts, I can be transformed till I cast down every thought that's unlike God. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. How close is it, Lord? Every thought, bring every thought. Brother, get to where every thought that you think is pure. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything be lovely, if anything be pure, if anything be godly, if anything be wholesome, think on these. Train your thoughts, control your thoughts. Get your thought pattern into a place to where you can think, just think godly. You know, there's certain people, they're born in certain parts of the world. You take a Japanese person or a Chinese person, their thought pattern is in Chinese. When they think, they don't think like you do. Thoughts like you speak. That sounds all jumbled up to them. You go to a Chinese that don't know nothing about the English language, and his thought pattern is in Chinese. Same way with a person born in a Spanish country. See, and their thoughts is all jumbled up to us. Our thoughts jumble up to them because they have a different thought pattern. Why is that? Because they belong to a different world. Folks, that's the way it is with the world out yonder. I've got a different thought pattern. I was born in a different world. I'm born of a different spirit. I have a different life. All of that evil, wretched way of talk and that filth and that ungodliness that foams from their mouth. The Bible said they were foaming out their shame. I don't understand their thought pattern. I don't understand their ways because my thought pattern is different. I've been born of another world. I come from another world. I belong to another world. Jesus said, you're not of this world. If you was of this world, then the world would love you because the world loveth its own. But the world hates you because you're not of this world. Brother, if you had the thought pattern to run and play baseball, run and play football, to run down to the swimming pools and run down to the ocean side and strip off and get nude, to drink and to fight, to frolic, to steal and cheat and kill, run around with each other's husbands and wives and do the filth of this world, the world would love you because you'd be part of it. They would accept you. But because your thought pattern is virtue, holiness, godliness, pureness, righteousness, meekness, long-suffering, kindness, you're not interested in lust and covetousness and making money and getting gain and piling up substance. You're interested in seeing the kingdom of God established in this world and being about your Father's will. And seeing his desire done and seeing righteousness established in the earth. That's your thought pattern. Day and night you meditate in his laws. Therefore the world understands you not because they understood him not. Therefore we are another people. Jesus said to Peter and to the others, Caesar and these folks, who are they taking tribute of? They say we have to pay taxes. Said, it's not of their own children. Then they're taxing strangers. For Abraham confessed that we're pilgrims and we're strangers. We don't belong here. But we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. And God said to the Israelites, don't stop in the land of Esau. Pay your way. You're going to Canaan. Oh, brother, sister, if you love this present world and the things of this present world, you can't be part of what we're doing. For we're passing through the dimensions of time. We're transforming into another world. We're being caught up into that third heaven. Over and over, we're moving from Egypt to Canaan. Though, as it has been said of the eagle, he might have been born in a barnyard, so was the Son of God. But he wasn't of a barnyard. You say, well, when Jesus was born into this world, Brother Pike, it was because he was of the flesh. Then why does the Bible use the terms that though he was rich, he became poor and was made like unto one of us that he might fill our infirmities? If there was not a Christ before, if there was not a Jesus before he ever become the babe of Bethlehem, why did it say that he was before rich and he left his riches and came down to become as one of us to fill our infirmities? Why does it say that? Oh, hallelujah. But one thing for sure tonight, I'm not of this world. You may be of this world, but brother, sister, I'm not of this world. I found another place in the heavenlies of God. And I'm not of this world tonight. I don't belong to this world. I'm on my way to another city. I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. A city who hath foundations. And John said, I saw that city, and the foundation of that city had lovely stones in whose names the 12 apostles were found. I'm looking for that city where the foundation hath the names of the apostles, because scientists has learned that this world don't have a foundation. It's just a big ball floating around in space. It's liable to go at any time. But oh brother, the city that I'm looking for hath foundations. And the Bible said the builder and the maker is God. Paul said, I'm the wise master builder, for God saw fit to reveal Christ in my life. For the revelation was made known unto me. Was going to build it out of lively stones. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? I want to go, don't you? Hallelujah. I want to go. They sang that song, there'll be someone there looking for me. They'll be so disappointed if my face they don't see. You say, Brother Pike, you mean your dad? No. You mean maybe your mother or your sister or somebody will die and they'll be over there? No. Your brother Charles? No. I'm sure that they would like to see me. But there'll be somebody by the name of Jesus. He'll be looking for me, and he'll be so disappointed if my face he don't see. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go. I don't want to miss it, do you? Praise God. I want you to stand with me. This weapon is a mighty weapon. Brother, sister, you need to use this weapon. It's a mighty weapon. If you want to overthrow the powers and kingdom of Satan, you need to use this weapon. Praise God, praise God. Let's just slip our hands up for just a moment, can you? I tell you tonight, like I told Brother Carter today, I said, Bill, I said, you know something? I said, many years in talking to Jesus and serving Jesus, and even until the very day that we're in now, I said, I'm convinced of one thing. If we want life, extensively speaking, we want peace and happiness, we want continuation in existence, to go on and on and on in life without end, to have health and the wonderful things, all the jubilance of seeing the breeze blow through the leaves of the trees. You know, it's so refreshing on a hot day to see the wind just blowing in the tree and limbs just waving about, to hear the little birds chirping in the trees and the flowers blooming. It's so refreshing. And I said, even to this day, I'm persuaded to believe the only thing is Christ. Christ, if we want that life, if we want to continue, if we want to continue to live, if we want to continue to live, folks, don't forfeit your right to that. Don't forfeit your right to that. All that you have, purchase that field with it. Purchase that field with it. All that you have, give your whole life entirely. Be God's living sacrifice. God's living sacrifice. And Abraham met the high priest in the valley of Shave after he returned from the battle and gave a tenth of his spoil to the high priest. And God said unto Jesus, kings, rulers, great men shall be, they shall wax old and they shall be folded up like a garment and they shall be laid away. But I say unto thee, O God, thou shalt continue forever and ever. And there shall be no end to your kingdom or to the increase of your kingdom. For thou art a king, and the end of thy kingdom shall be without end, even forever and ever, even from everlasting to everlasting. Tonight, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. Heaven is my throne. Do you want to sit down in heaven with God? You can do it, folks. Oh, hallelujah, when I think about being a son of God. Oh, when I think about being a son of God. Hallelujah. I remember the vision I had a few years ago. And even here at Little Bethlehem, I looked and the resurrection had taken place. People had died and the resurrection had taken place. And I remember getting up out of the ground. Some of my loved ones getting up out of the ground, and I looked and saw one or two of the church people that I knew. I saw them raise up out of the ground amidst the little poppies and the little blooming flowers. So happy were they, so alive were they, so joyful were they as they raised up out of the little grassy spots. What a thought, what a time. Such a jubilance it was, such a peace, such a sereneness. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm the truth and I'm the life. Have you passed from death unto life yet? He that heareth my words and believeth on me, he has passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. Are you willing to sacrifice as a supreme sacrifice your life, your way, your will, a living sacrifice? Will you be God's living sacrifice? A walking, talking witness for God? A living surrender, a living sacrifice, denying yourself of all of your personal ambitions and desires and plans and programs that you might do for him and live for him and give him your life without reservation of heart. Will you be God's living sacrifice? You can. You can be. You can be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, oh, my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Sing it again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, Ramandarama Shidabariandarabosi Taramandarama Shiandariandarabos Andaramasaya Alamasi Andali Alavo Shidabariandarabos Shandariandaramasai Ulamandali Andalavo Shidaliandai Sandalamosai Ilamandali Andalavolo Shitalamandali Andalamolo Shandariandai. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel the love of God tonight. I feel the overflow of the great Spirit of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people, and for all of this, saith the Lord, they will not hear me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Hallelujah. 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 How wonderful. He reads down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost, I was undone, without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, can you sing one more time? When my Savior reached down for me. Can you come down the altar tonight and let's worship the Lord a minute? Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost, and undone. Without God or His Son, when He reached down His hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me. Oh, when He reached the way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Let's love Him tonight. Can we love Him tonight for just a few minutes? Can we love Him tonight? You know, I feel hearts tonight sincere. I feel minds tonight pure. I feel hearts and hands reaching out for Jesus tonight. I feel a real genuine concern about eternity and where you're going to spend eternity tonight. I can tell that deep down in your soul tonight that you're calling out with all sincerity, calling upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the Lord while He is near. Call upon the Lord while He may be found. Now is the time to call upon the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. For we know not the minute, we know not the hour. Oh, precious friend, we know not the minute nor the hour when the great translation will take place, when people start purifying their hearts by faith, when people start casting down imagination, when people start getting their thoughts ready, their thoughts pure. It means it's time. It means it's time. That's the last thing that'll be done. It means it's time for the great translation to take place. And I feel people beginning to get sincere. I feel people beginning to get ready. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Let's just love Jesus for a few minutes. I feel God here tonight. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, almighty God of heaven, I feel Your presence. Alamoshita Ramandrama Sandra Moshita Ramandramanaina Mandaliola Mulu Shandaliala Bulu Sandaliata Malastai. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I dream I went to that city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, they cried, "Holy," and the angels all met me up there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for us all. Well, I bowed on my knees, I cried, "Holy." Can you cry, "Holy"? I cried, "Holy." I cried, "Holy." I clapped my hands, I sang, "Glory, glory to the Lamb of God." Hallelujah. Don't you feel His presence tonight? Don't you feel His presence tonight? Hallelujah. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you, just to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Can you feel His touch? Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and He made me whole. Do you feel Jesus touching you tonight? Hallelujah. I want you to slip your hands up and think on Jesus tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. They shall not faint. Be not weary and faint in your minds. Be strong in the power of His might. Use the mighty weapon of your warfare, the mind of Christ, the faith of God. Be strong in the power of His might. What is that mighty weapon? Believing that He hath overcome. Be of good cheer, that mighty weapon says. Be of good cheer, that mighty weapon says, for I have overcome the world. Use that weapon on the devil. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, that weapon says. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you, that weapon says. I'll be with you, lo, even until the end of the world. I have loved you with an everlasting love, that weapon says. You can drive out everything, every wrong, every evil. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered, that weapon says. The mighty mind of Christ. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sicknesses. All of these things shall fall around you, but they shall not come nigh your dwelling, that mighty weapon says. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, that mighty weapon says. For I am thine exceeding and mighty reward. Lo, I am with you. My covenant I have established with you, it remaineth even until today. Even so, my spirit remaineth among you, even as I've covenanted with you, that weapon says. That mighty weapon of warfare, the mind of Christ. Can you trust in it? Can you believe in it? Can you think upon it? Can you eradicate every thought but that thought? Can you change your mind until that's your mind? Let this mind be in you, even the mighty weapon of warfare. And you can overcome every obstacle. Every obstacle. When Satan spoke to Jesus, the mighty weapon of warfare spoke back and said, thus it is written, it can be so. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe in the mighty weapon of warfare. Hallelujah. God has given you that mighty weapon called faith. You can use it, the sword of faith tonight, or the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit tonight. You can use it, which is His Word. His Word, the great sword, a two-edged sword that went forth, the mind of Christ. Taking the shield of faith, letting your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel, having on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Taking the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Having your loins girt about with the truth. You can do it tonight. The full armor of God, the whole armor of God tonight, that you may withstand the wiles of Satan. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and let's love Him. Are you ready to be His sacrifice? Are you ready to be His sacrifice tonight? Are you ready to be His sacrifice? The sacrifices of the Old Testament, God was only showing you that you should sacrifice your body that you might live eternally. For in giving your body as a sacrifice to God, then you become an eternal creature. If you give your body as a sacrifice to the lust and desires of this world, then you have sacrificed your body to devils, to your passions, to your desire, which is devils that work in the flesh. You become a slave to tribute of looking for the things of this world. But will you surrender your body to God? Will you glorify God in your bodies, which is the temples of God? Will you do it? Can you sing this song with us? As it is said, I'll go with Him through the garden. Can you sing that song? I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. Can you deny self? I'll go with Him through the